living with God. And in just a little bit of this picture, the idea of from Garden Eden to Garden Heaven, because of God's covenant, the rainbow, and then an artist's depiction of the New Jerusalem, presence with God, living with God, being in His presence. Most of us probably, I suspect, have growing up church backgrounds, and you remember getting ready for church and what your family did and maybe what mom and dad did getting ready. How many of you remember this? Anybody got a good weekly bath story? We got 1 week Saturday night getting ready, and these sort of Rockwell pictures are great, but getting scrubbed up. But baths, getting something different. Also, putting on our Sunday finest and getting dressed to go and into the house of the Lord. But also sometimes we don't think about what about our attitudes as we're getting ready to church. How many of us sometimes, unfortunately, this can happen where you kick the dog that morning, you argue with your spouse. And then you get to church and blessed brother and sister, everything is wonderful. And just so one thing for you guys to know about me, right before the church service is not the time to maybe come and tell me how unhappy you are or complain about stuff or give me things that, that's not helping right now. So you're pretty good, but preparing for worship. And one of the things I appreciate, Peg, with the organ, that's classic music that just to quiet our hearts and prepare after. I mean, we have fun. We start off with, some humor and the family greeting to get the wiggles out. But then we prepare and get ready for worship. Well, Psalm 15 talks about that. So I'd encourage you to start turning there. That we're going to look at that. That this is a psalm, part of the psalms that are wisdom literature, which are tied to God's covenant, think of that rainbow, but God's law, the requirements for obedience, but also for godly living, what does that look like? And the wisdom literature, the idea of wisdom means skillful living, not only knowing what God says, understanding how His word works together, but actually putting it into practice in our lives. The Hebrew word is another one that you get to clear your throat, chokmah. Chokmah, skillful living, wisdom. And like Proverbs says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And so Psalm 15 is a psalm of David. It's actually known as scholars call it a wisdom psalm, that are sharing the requirements to be a guest, if you will, in the house of the Lord or with God. Hospitality, very important in the ancient Near East. But what does a good guest look like to have presence with the Lord? And so the idea that also touches on for the application for us, worship in the presence of God. Living and approaching God in worship. Now, today, in our daily lives, and for eternity, requires spiritual righteousness reflected in our lives. So please turn to Psalm 15, and I'm going to read the whole psalm, just a short 5 verses. Get my cheaters on here. Psalm 15 is a psalm of David. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised. But he honors those who fear the Lord, he who swears to his own hurt and does not change, he who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. And so the idea, this psalm, this worship psalm that is giving an answer, a question that's asked is who, 2 times, who may abide or dwell or sojourn in the tabernacle or tent or sanctuary? Think of the Old Testament tabernacle, the physical place where God met with his people. And of course, the Temple of Solomon later. And who may dwell or live on the holy hill? Think of Jerusalem as the city of God on earth, but ultimately the presence of God. So who are those people? Well, the answer comes in a list of a bunch of stuff. And just listen to these. These are self-explanatory as far as easy application. You like checklists of things to do? Well, here's a good checklist for you. So the answer is those who. There's plus and minus. Thoughts, words, deeds, and relationship. This is what skillful living, when we understand what God has said, this is what it's going to look like in our lives. Think of sort of the Ten Commandments, if you will. Those moral commandments. You know, they're not Ten Suggestions, they're Ten Commandments. And the idea of what it ought to look like in a life of God's people. And so they're dealing with character, who we are on the inside, and our actions, okay? What we do on the outside. So listen to these, and these are self-explanatory. So walking uprightly, the word is blameless, with integrity. Working righteousness, speaking the truth. Is this being piped to Washington? Do not backbite or slander. Do no evil. Do no reproach or cast no slur. Despising vile people, reprobates. In other words, recognizing evil people. Honoring those who fear the Lord. Swear to your own hurt, is my translation, but better. Keeps his word despite the cost. Do not change, steady, not fickle, if you will. Do not lend at usury, not a word we use too much, but think of high interest, which was forbidden in Israel with fellow Israelites. Exodus 22:25, if you lend money to any of my people who are poor among you, you shall not be like the moneylender to him. You shall not charge him interest. So not taking advantage of people with loans. Do not take a bribe. Is this being sent to Washington? But obviously, bribery in Deuteronomy 27:25. Cursed is the one who takes a bribe to slay an innocent person. And all the people shall say, Amen. Yeah, that was in Deuteronomy. And then in Proverbs 17:23, a wicked man accepts a bribe behind the back to pervert the ways of justice. It's pretty simple. And so what is the promise then of people that's reflected in their lives? The second very end of the verse 5, those who do these things shall never be moved or shaken. You know, firm foundation, steady. And what does that mean? Well, first of all, the presence of the Lord, back in 1. Who shall ascend the holy hill and dwell with Lord? So his presence, but also a solid foundation. Psalm 16:8 says, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, the presence of the Lord, and I shall not be moved. So in a steady world, David, think of his life, the steadiness in the midst of the turmoil of being on the firm foundation of the presence of the Lord. And so you will never fall. Folks, that is reassuring to me. And as you watch the news and in our lives, the things that happen, that to me is reassuring. Pretty straightforward, but so what? So what kind of person may enjoy fellowship with God? Well, lives of chokmah, wisdom, characters, are your character, is my character, and are actions consistent? Our thoughts, our words, what we do, our deeds, our relationships. Because if they're not consistent, we call those people hypocrites. Okay, literally from a play actor, the word from Greek drama and theater. You're really not who you say you are, folk. Well, that's not who God's people, that's not the kind of people that are reflecting in their lives, people that are going to dwell in the presence of the Lord. So what are some specific areas, especially on Sunday, as we say, right? Because that's when we're in his house. I'm being a little sarcastic with, I don't like that terminology, but we are in his presence, approaching God. This psalm, they believe also the pilgrims going up to Jerusalem, preparing for worship. Do you come with a sense of awe? You know, kids use the word awesome. It's a great word, but it goes a little deeper than I think kids think it means. The awe, the reverence of God. If you will, so the outer attributes. Well, it was important, especially in the Old Testament. Think of the temple that was built, that God was very specific in how to build it. And so here's a model in Jerusalem at the Jerusalem Hotel, but here's a model that the presence, the closer you got to God, the more awe. And so Gentiles out here, the court of the women, then the court of Israel, the men, then the priests. Here's the altar and where the sacrifice is. And then you go into the holy place, and one day a year, only the high priest was allowed on Yom Kippur, which was a couple weeks ago, into the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant with the cherubim and the golden covering and the required sacrifices. Think of all those sacrifices. One of these days, that's a study that would be interesting, is all those Old Testament sacrifices that we don't do anymore. But why did God mandate those? And so here's just a picture of the high priest in special garments. You know, normally he had all the finery and the breastplate, but on Yom Kippur, just a simple linen garment, had the incense and went into the holy place. They had bells on him to make sure he was still moving around, because what happens if he died in there? Nobody can go in there to get him. They actually would tie a rope later on his feet so they could drag him out if somehow he was killed in the holy place. But the awe, the purification, the sacrifice, the garments, they took that very seriously. Through church history, we did a whole message on naval architecture. I thought it was pretty cool, personally. But the idea of how churches have developed over time, where it used to be, think of the great Gothic, of course, Notre Dame got destroyed by that fire, but the floor plan, like a cross, the narthex, and then the nave, where we get our word navy. You're only saved in the navy. But the transepts and the different, there are different, where the gospel side of the church, just the architecture with those little tiny windows that built for the glory of God for worship. Okay, that's very external, and we don't live in that culture, and that's not what's important. But Sunday, for example, in our lives is a little different day, and we tend to dress a little differently. And just so you know, the reason I always look silly, but I dress up because for me, I'm not the priest, but I have the holy privilege of standing before God's people and proclaiming His word. And so I take it seriously. Some of us come from churches with, where the priest will wear an actual cassock, or, think of the collars, which great picture of black. I am a sinner. But when the pastor is proclaiming the word of God, that is God's word. And so there's something different reflected on the outer. Now, we live in Colorado. That's not the main thing. But just if nothing else, so you understand why even Colorado casual, I tend to look like this most of the time. That's just me in my faith, living my faith and my responsibility. But the more important thing is not the outer, is it? It's not the outer attributes, but the inner reaction, hopefully, that is reflecting what's important. And so the inner reality, because we are dwelling in God's presence. Think of Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6, where he got to see, if you will, the throne room of God. And he saw the seraphim, and one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, "Woe is me, Isaiah, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." When confronted with God's holiness, do we recognize who we are as a sinful people? And so then on Sunday morning, our character and our actions Are our thoughts God-honoring? Or we had a, you know, and I commend you folks, but we've probably been in churches where, okay, let's get this over with so we can get back to whatever it is that's more important. Or the business meeting, we're fighting about stuff that's unimportant. Our thoughts, you know, I really wish so-and-so would, you know, our words, our deeds, our relationships. And folks, and I, by God's grace, I commend us, but that is a challenge that we all can work on, because we are moving. When we come here, even though this isn't the temple, isn't the it's not the external, but we are coming here for a time to get together and worship from the profane, the common of the week, to what is the sacred, something set apart. So there's something different about this day, even though we're Colorado casual and you know, we can have fun and all that stuff, but recognizing, keeping what is important. So on Sunday, are we consistent in our who we are on the inside and how we act on the outside? Or, like Jesus had to call out the Pharisees, if you will, those legalistic Christians, or are we whitewashed sepulchers? Where, boy, we look nice on the outside, took my weekly bath, and here I am, but I'm full of dead men's bones on the inside. The Sunday game face. You know, it's football season, and I use that term, and I think you all know what that means. On Sunday, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, brother and sister. And then when I go out the door, I'm no different than the world. What about Monday to Saturday, our daily lives? Because the reality, folks, God is omnivorous, omnipresent. One of his characteristics. So God, it's not like God only sees us when we're in his house, because he lives in this little house. No, folks, he is omnipresent. Our bodies are to be living sacrifices. 24/7, 365, we are trophies of God's grace. Like we sang, good songs that Dennis picked out, living for Jesus. So are our character, inner, actions, outer, round two, Monday to Saturday. What about your thoughts during the week? What about your words? What about your deeds? What about your relationships? We were talking about Bev. You know, every time I go to Walmart, we could have a church service there, I think, because I run in. Well, guess what? When I see you guys and you don't see me, I spy on you. And I see if you are, and some of you I could call out on some. No, that's not what it's about. But are we during the week God's children, living this way? Because we are in his presence all the time, not just on Sunday. So integrity, that's one of the core values of the Air Force. Integrity first. Be who you are. Your inner and your outer ought to be consistent. Okay, outer, I can fool you people, but I can't fool God with what's really going on. And that's what we need to be aware of. So what kind of a person may enjoy fellowship with God? Well, let me reread a little bit more of Micah. Get the cheaters again. Micah 6, beginning of verse 8. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with 10,000s of rams or 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? External, is it all about what we do? And oh, look at me, I'm giving more rams and more firstborn. Where's the boy? David, raise your hand. You're getting sacrificed to the Lord. And look at me, I care more than you. I've got more ribbons than you do. If it's all external, folks, we're missing the point, because he has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly. Justice. God's justice. Not the justice of the world. You know, what gets defined as justice. To love. Mercy. There's that word. Get to clear my throat again. Chesed. The covenant loyalty. Mercy. Loving kindness. Some of your translations might say. But God's favor and grace because of his covenant with us. Not because of who we are. And to walk humbly with our God, because we're sinners, folks, and he is holy. There ought to be a holy, if you will, sense of awe being in the presence of the Lord all our lives. And so lives of chokmah, that wisdom, the character and actions consistent, not being hypocrites, because God's standard, that word, that first walk uprightly or blameless, that word, that Hebrew word, talks about the lamb without blemish. And so the standard is blameless. The test is 100% righteous to get to heaven. Please raise your hand if you are 100% righteous apart from Christ. But obviously, if we think it's us, we fall short. That's why what Jesus did, his righteousness, big word alert, imputed righteousness. Jesus, God the Son, perfect, lived, actively obeyed on our behalf because we fall short all the time. And then he died passively on the cross, and his righteousness is credited to our account. Our sin is credited to his account on the cross where it was taken care of. So like Isaiah recognized this, the next few verses in Isaiah chapter 6, woe is me, I'm a holy, 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 woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips, I'm a sinner. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips, your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged. Or like I read in 2 Peter, the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's not your righteousness. It's not my righteousness. It's Christ's righteousness and what that looks like in people who are now able to live lives that please God. For us, an entrance in the last verse of 2 Peter, therefore, an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly, will be supplied to you, God's grace, into the everlasting kingdom, whatever the picture is there of heaven, of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Living with and approaching God in worship. Now, and that's all week long, and for eternity, requires spiritual righteousness, ultimately only imputed by what trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done, requires spiritual righteousness. And folks, that ought to be reflected in our lives. And it's all to God's glory alone. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the Psalms and just the real life of specific context, David. And as we live in this world, sometimes we thank you, David. I'm glad you went through that and have written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit comforting words for us. May we draw comfort from this, knowing that the requirements that ought to be reflected in our lives, and that ultimately it's because of what you have done that we may dwell and live and worship in your presence now and for all eternity. And all God's people said, Amen.